Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of iTricks.com, and in this August 31st, 2008 edition of the program, you'll hear about David Copperfield's restaurant that wasn't, Jeff McBride's new nightclub, how magic fits in with the Sarah Palin experience, and stay tuned later to hear which magician gave a disabled teen his cell phone number so he could be his text message buddy. Here to help me with all of this are two men. One is the creator of the new Magic from the Grave DVD, and the other is working on a bevy of new products and also harbors a startling indifference to Tyler Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, iTrix is very proud to welcome to the podcast Andy Gladwin and Todd Diamond. How you doing, gang?
I love Tyler Wilson.
Oh, I mean, don't blow his ego up.
I love Andy.
Well, Andy, of course, welcome back. Oh. Todd, it is great to have you on for the first time.
Hey, it's
thanks
great
for
to
having
be
me
here.
Back.
All right, if you guys would like to fire back on anything you hear, email show@itricks.com or leave a comment on this week's Magic Week in Review post on itricks.com. But first this, has your online magic shop given you the bird, been let down when you received a magic trick that wasn't exactly what you thought it was? Need a professional opinion before clicking the buy button? TrickShopMagic.com is a real magic shop located in Southern California, and it is proud to announce their live chat feature. At any time while you're browsing the over 6,000 magic items, simply click on the live chat button and a magician will be standing by to assist you with your questions. It is a unique feature only to TrickShopMagic.com because Sam Blankenship cares about you, the listener, personally, that much. So head over there, TrickShopMagic.com. Forbes.com featured an article compiling stories of successful entrepreneurs' failure stories. For example, Bob Compton once had paired with David Copperfield to create a magic-themed restaurant in Times Square. They'd raised $40 million and completed 80% of the project before a majority equity partner blocked another interested investor and the entire project fell apart. So, gang, how do each of you deal with necessary failures to ultimately achieve success? Todd, we'll go ahead with you first.
Well, I'm one of the few people that I like failure.
Now, why is that?
Because when you fail, you learn what not to do. It's very simple. A lot of my upbringing, I had a very positive business role model from my father, and you know, he taught me that everybody fails, it's okay to fail, just make sure you learn from your failures, so when you go back to correct, you know, what you're working on, you then will achieve what you want. I've had a lot of experiences where I have failed miserably, and I could take up the whole half hour sharing that, but, you know. But the ultimate thing is success and failure is a state of mind anyways, you know, in my opinion. And if you succeed, you're setting yourself up in your mind to succeed. And if you're setting yourself up to fail, you're setting yourself up to fail. Unfortunately, the way I think of things is I think in the middle. Either way is good for me because either way I'm going to learn something and I'm going to gain from it.
All right. Well, Andy, is failure just a state of mind or a legitimate reason to crawl in a ball and cry yourself to sleep?
I love Tyler Wilson.
Oh, hiding behind your love for that hairy man.
You know, well, Winston Churchill was the one that said that success consists of going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. And I believe him on that.
Nice.
So I'm not afraid to fail when I try different tricks and ideas. As long as if it does go wrong, then I just pick myself up and just go on to the next idea. If we were to let failure stop us, then there would be no new creations in magic. So I love Tyler Wilson.
Well, I know, especially for some of the younger listeners that, you know, subscribe to the podcast, and there's always the kind of like, well, I'm 13 years old. I have a great idea for a trick. I want to record it on my webcam and put it out there for $15. And as much as, you know, obviously that has, you know, it's legitimate reasons why you should maybe not do that, it is also almost a just as equally important lesson to say, if you do release something, and not necessarily if you're that young, that if it fails, it's not your thinking that was wrong. It was that project. Right. And if you blame your thinking, then you've lost, you know, really the only thing that you're ever going to make money off if you want to do magic for a living.
Well, I think I have kind of a different view for most magic publishers in that for people that want to go out and put their first idea on YouTube or, you know, just sell it for a few dollars, then I think that's a learning experience, so long as they're quite open about it. It's their first project and that they're not totally confident in the idea yet. But they're going to learn a lot from trying that and releasing a trick to a few friends, maybe not always selling it, but there's a lot to learn from that kind of thing.
So getting it out there.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
Sorry, go ahead, Todd.
I agree with Andy. I think it's a learning experience. You know, I mean, it's something that, I mean, there's a lot of professional magicians. In fact, myself, I'm 36 years old. My first major project came out 8 months ago.
Yeah. You know?
I never really put anything out on the market to go after magicians. I always went after laymen because that's how I paid my rent, you know. But I agree with Andy 100%. It's a learning experience. My first project, it got good reviews, but also got bad ones at the same time. You know, it was a learning experience.
So even where you are now, you are never done learning.
No, absolutely not. You know, in fact, Bizarro a couple of weeks ago showed me this really cool move. I would have never thought of it. You know,
I
mean, I have a huge magic library, and I'm sure Andy does. I'm sure you do as well. You know, you always learn. I had a 12-year-old fool the heck out of me 10 years ago. I still have no idea how he made that damn coin vanish, you know?
They are very crafty. All right, Jeff McBride began his new Vegas show, Magic on the Edge, as well as his late-night club experience, Wonderground, this week. Among those involved in the late-night venture are Eugene Berger and Luke Germay doing close-up magic. And what's more are the guests that will allegedly be invited over the run, including Lance Burton, Matt King, Penn and Teller, as well as Siegfried and Roy, who would, supposedly show up after their shows are over for the night. So, gang, is this the magic show for visiting magicians?
That's a trick question. Which show are you talking about? The after hours one?
Well, it is a, you know, buy one, get one free kind of thing. You buy a ticket to the Magic at the Edge show, and then you just kind of stay in your seat, and around you, it kind of morphs into the Wonderground.
Oh, I thought he was doing a nightclub separate thing.
I believe if it's not in the same room, it is in the same facility. So you do.
Wow, so he switched it up. Okay.
Yeah.
Magic. I was talking to him about it, and it was at the time he was doing a nightclub thing, and they were getting ready to open up the other show. I didn't know that he combined them now.
From what I can tell, from what I was able to glean from the stuff, I might be wrong, but it is all one thing.
Can I answer this first?
What was that?
Does Andy want to answer this one first?
Well, go ahead. Right, I mean, Andy would be, it'd be a much longer trip for Andy to get out to Vegas and see one show. If you were to see one show, would this be it?
I just got back from Vegas, actually. I was just a couple of weeks too early, though, unfortunately.
Okay.
But if I was in Vegas, then I would definitely go and see the show. I'd love to see Jeff's Magic and Eugene and Luke. So, yeah, I would definitely be there. I think I've seen all the magic shows on the Strip now, and as have most of my magician friends who have been to Vegas a few times. So it's great that there's new magic on the Strip. So I will definitely try and see it if I'm there when the show's running.
All right. Well, here, snap judgment then. If you had one day, tickets were free, do you see this show, or does your curiosity factor to what Chris Angel's doing with the Luxor compel you to go take in that show?
I would go and see Chris, I think, on this occasion, because it's a new show. I've seen a lot of Jeff's Magic before, but I've never seen Chris live. So I'd love to see the show, and I'm a big Cirque du Soleil fan, so I would definitely try and see Chris's show.
Okay, Todd.
But no offense, Jeff.
You know, it's an interesting question because absolutely, Chris's show is going to be unbelievable. I don't care how many Chris Angel haters there are out there, you know, because of his TV specials. But let's face it, it's Cirque, and he's got a dark side to him. It's going to be a phenomenal show. There's one thing, though, that was in this question. Is this going to be the show for visiting magicians?
Yes.
If the after hours, right, if the after hours thing is anything resembling what Jeff McBride is as a person, absolutely. Because, hey, you know, being around Jeff, and I've spent time with Jeff and Luke and Eugene and those guys, being around those guys, even if you don't get them 100%, their vibe, their magic, their thinking, their process, you can learn a lot. So if the after hour thing is really intimate, then absolutely that would be the show to go to for a visiting magician.
Yes.
But for the other situation, I'm going to go with Andy and say, you know, when Chris Angel opens, that's probably going to be the magic show of the town.
Well, it certainly seems so. They're putting enough money into it.
God, yeah.
And now a little question and answer session about Andrew Main's newest booklet, Third Eye. Question, what is the third eye? The third eye is an impromptu system for revealing a thought or image. It uses no gimmicks or prepared props. The only thing you need is a magazine. There is no preparation beforehand. Where can I use it? Anywhere. It works close up, one-on-one, and works on stage. It can even be performed over the phone. Does it involve pre-show work? No. Everything happens in the performance. However, it's a great pre-show way to already have an image selected. How do I get it? Well, you can head to shockmagic.com right now and pick it up for only $15 with shipping free to the U.S. and Canada. Again, that is Andrew Main's Third Eye, available at shockmagic.com. Bicycle debuted new editions of their political decks featuring Democrat, Republican, and Independent editions. So they're all different decks. It's an elephant riding the bicycle for the Republicans, a donkey riding the bicycle for the Democrats, and an eagle back for the Independents. I guess to coincide with, I don't know, something. I forget. So, gang, have you ever worked political patter into your act? We'll start with Andy. Have you ever worked any kind of parliamentary procedure jokes, any exchequer references into your personal act?
No, but I do love Milo Wilson, so that's probably, we can move on now, really.
Is this some sort of drinking game, like some sort of fun thing that you've sent out to your mailing list that every time you mention your love for Tyler Wilson, somebody takes a drink?
A fairy dies or something like that. I'm not sure. I've never included politics in my act. I'm not that kind of magician. I'm not clever enough. So I just try and avoid that kind of stuff.
Do you think that it's ever appropriate?
Depends. I think anything's appropriate given the right magician and the right audience. So sure, if you can find the right person to do it, then by all means.
Well, Todd, you're more of a blue kind of worker at times. You're a little bit more brash and open with your opinions. Have you ever worked in politics?
I've never worked in politics. Heck, they wouldn't even let me in the door. I'm off the fence on this one because I am very blue humor, and I've been biting my tongue for the last 15 minutes to keep it clean. I think that I personally, yes, used some jokes that were very political. And in fact, I have one that's in my show right now. I can't say it because I just can't say it.
No, say it. Say it and I'll bleep it out. Say it and I'll bleep it out.
Can't for language reasons. I can't.
I'll bleep it out. It's fine. I'll bleep it out. Just say it. It'll be funny bleeped.
Tell you after. But here's the thing. I avoided that one well, didn't I? Here's
we
the
should
thing,
do
though.
Peer pressure.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, I don't.
I want to hear it.
That was back in the days. I think absolutely. I think political. I think racist. I think religion. Everything is available to you if you are that type of performer. Amazing Jonathan gets away with everything. I can't get away with everything. I get away with, you know,
something.
Good part of it. Yeah. And I think it totally is appropriate if you're working the right crowd, you know? I mean, I work primarily nightclub, bars, that kind of thing when I'm not doing birthday parties. So, you know,
yeah,
it works for me.
Works in the bar, not necessarily the bar mitzvah, I guess would be your point.
No, absolutely not. Because then you got the whole religion thing as an issue.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Shimshi got a great reaction from the crowd, but a cold reception from the judges on this week's America's Got Talent because he performed a card trick. Granted, he identified a selected and signed jumbo card by doing a standing backflip, but in the words of Judge Piers Morgan, when you are on the biggest stage in America, you don't do a card trick. So, gang, is he right? Todd, comment?
Well, you know, I turned down doing America's Got Talent because they wouldn't let me do close-up.
Okay. So, I guess so.
So for Shimshi, you know what? Great card trick. I've seen him do it live, and I can tell you this, the way that's edited, and we all know, and we know, you know what's going on with that. I've seen him do it live, and it kills. I mean, it is a great trick. It's a great entertainment piece. And I think the problem isn't with the judges. I think the problem is with magicians on the show. They just don't get the credit. I mean, the show twists what we're about. You know, it's just like going after a gig and somebody says, well, I had a birthday magician that was picking his nose and 5,000 pounds. And, you know, that's the reputation we're getting on that show. I think Pierce is right to his opinion. We all have opinions. I don't think I agree with his opinion. I think it was a great trick. I think it was strong. But we're all entitled to it.
Well, it does bear mentioning that he did get a huge reaction from the crowd. It was only the judges that really kind of got down on him. The crowd loved it. So, Andy, card trick on national television. Does it play?
Yeah, of course it does. I think there's two things to discuss here. The first one is, as a judge, when you're watching that kind of act, you need to think of something to say about the act, whether it's good or bad. And as soon as you can clutch onto a bad thing, if you're in that kind of situation, then you're going to run with it. So as far as Piers Morgan's concerned, he saw cards. He thought that's too small for a stage. So that's how he run with it. I'm sure that's how it works.
Yeah.
But also, I think he was forgetting that they're not so much filming a theatre show here. They're filming a TV show. And of course cards can work on TV. That's why the cameras are there, to work right with the performer.
Yeah.
And it was a big card trick as well. It wasn't a pick a card, I'll find it by doing a double undercut kind of card trick. It was, you know, I'll do a double uppercut and kick it. That's so, yeah, of course it can work on TV.
Yeah. You know, it's very, I think, but if you are a performer and you know there's this kind of bias, then I feel like almost he should have dressed it up a little more. Like, I think like the engine was there, the trick worked, the crowd liked it. But even if it was, you know, just randomly for jokes, having somebody stand off to the side with Roman candles, you know, it should have been maybe a little bit flashier, just to kind of make it seem bigger, I guess.
Right. I didn't see the show. I've seen Shimshi do it once on in Blackpool, so maybe 2,500 people. It played for that audience, so yeah. I can't see why
it is on YouTube. So if anybody wants to go see it, just go ahead and do America's Got Talent. I think it's like America's Got Talent HD or something is a user on YouTube who just puts up like the entire show afterward. I don't know if that's probably illegal, but
he's a fanatic. Okay, yeah, well I'll check it out.
He loves it. All right, well Todd, you have,
yes, sir.
And this is the second week in a row that we're going to be plugging Magic from the Grave, but it is a fantastic DVD. And this time the creator is actually on the show as opposed to just Bizarro and his one part of it. But tell us a little bit about Magic from the Grave that we didn't hear about last weekend.
Well, you're going to bleep this part out. My first DVD was called Street Magic.
Okay.
And I put it out. And it's got an interview with James DeMare on it and all this good stuff. And my routines, not my tricks. I have one trick on there that was, you know, I had an original move. But other than that, it was routines that were other people's tricks. But the routines were all my blue humor stuff. And it didn't fare too well.
Ah.
It didn't do bad, but it didn't do well. I think what happened was the title scared a lot of people away. And so I got an interview with Amazing Jonathan, and I thought to myself, you know, I really didn't, I never performed for magicians. I'm a layman guy, you know? And that's, I'm a layman guy. I decided, well, I'll put one more out, you know, and I'll just get it. This will be it. I talked with a couple friends and we came up with the concept of kill me.
Yeah.
So I died. I die in this TV funeral home scene, everything. Bizarro comes to my funeral. He's the only one there, which probably pretty accurate when I do die. put three more of my routines. One of them is original, and the other two are, you know, original as far as put together, but the moves aren't. And so we did that, and it's more of a story DVD than just a magic DVD. It's more, there's a backstory of how I died. There's the morgue scene when I'm, the embalming scene, and, you know, it's just, it was a lot of fun, but it's my way of saying I'm done, you know?
This is your last product for magicians.
Absolutely. I'm going back to doing what I love to do, and that's make people laugh and enjoy working for laymen.
All right.
And this has been a great experience. All of it has. You know, I mean, the first one was a great experience. I did Black Magic, which was, you know, a great experience, and working with them and James, and it was just a lot of fun, and we had a great time filming it, and I'm happy with it. I just, you know, I came across as who I am, which is very blue humor, very aggressive, and I say what's on my mind.
All right, and it does bear mentioning that, you know, the Amazing Jonathan interview is definitely something unique. So if you're a fan of the Amazing Jonathan, you definitely owe it to yourself to pick this up. Where can people buy it?
Right now at magicfromthegrave.com. We're working on distribution right now. We're just not sure what avenue we're going with. But we ship internationally from magicfromthegrave.com all over the world, as well as U.S. and Canada. In the U.S. and Canada, it's free shipping right now.
All right.
It'll probably stay that way.
Magicfromthegrave.com. 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 Go there immediately. Now, Andy, you know, it's funny because I wanted to have you on the podcast, and you, I guess maybe it's like a month too early because you have like 15 projects that are really awesome that you told me in the works, and you can talk about half of them and none of them are available. So let's just go over the stuff that people can expect from Andy Gladwin.
Okay. Well, so we have a set of Tyler Wilson postcards expressing your love to Tyler Wilson. yeah, you know, I'm working on a lot of projects right now, as any of my friends will tell you, the ones who have to put up with me discussing all these projects. I always have a load of projects in the works and then can slowly release them as and when I manage to get them finished. So I have some great books in the works. I'm collaborating with Joshua Jay on quite a lot of stuff in the future. And the main one that's getting close to completion right now, although still a little way off, is the long-awaited Tyler Wilson sequel. His first
to
book,
Dominatrix,
was a lot of fun. We published that a couple of years ago now, and Tyler's been busy writing his next book. It's a lot bigger than the last one. It's got some great material in it. I'm currently editing it right now. It's a long job, but Tyler's such a great writer. I end up maybe editing one word in every 10 pages. So he's done a great job with this book, and I'm really looking forward to getting it out.
That is awesome. I know everybody would definitely be looking forward to that, because Dominatrix was certainly a hit for you guys, and Tyler Wilson deserves nothing but happiness and success in his you know, sweaty little life. And then you mentioned Joshua Jay. I don't want to. I don't know how much you can say, but people can definitely expect more collaborations from you guys in the future, right?
Exactly, yeah. Me and Josh have been working quite closely over the last couple of months. We're trying to phase out Tyler Wilson, so I'm replacing Tyler with Josh. So Josh is busy growing hair right now, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Not only in business, but also in your heart. I'll be as obtuse about this as possible, but a big project on the horizon. Big, big, big project, right?
You just gave that away. You told everyone exactly what I've been working on. How could you do that? You're going to have to bleep that out now.
All right. But is there anything that you can say without going too much into it? Or I know we don't want to mention any kind of identifying factors, but something comprehensive, right?
I'm over here really quiet listening for the details, so speak up.
Okay, so we're working on a new DVD project. It's called Magic from the Grave. I've managed to secure an interview with the amazing Jonathan, some really rude blue-humored guy. We're killing him off. It's going to be great fun.
Excellent, excellent. And, of course, everybody can find your stuff at andygladwin.co.uk, correct?
That is correct. It's A-N-D-I. I have no idea why. It's an I instead of a Y, but it's A-N-D-I, gladwin.co.uk. And just a hint of that project you were so subtly telling us about.
Exactly. It's going to be artfully
a series of books by a magician that everybody knows, everybody loves. And we've managed to combine all of his material to date. It's going to be a lot of work. So I don't want to say too much right now because it's a couple of years in the making. But we will soon be talking about it, and iTricks will have the scoop.
Excellent, excellent. If somebody doesn't mention another mailing list first. And that is about it. One more note from us, whyshopronjo.com. It is simple. Ronjo.com is focused on customer satisfaction, superior service, hassle-free returns, and much more. Ronjo provides proudly maintains a live updating online inventory system so you, the customer, will always know what is in stock. Fast shipping is another reason. All in-stock items ship the same day if the order is placed by 3 p.m. Eastern time. Customers automatically earn one reward point for every dollar spent at Ronjo.com, and every 20 reward points earned may be converted to $1 store credit when checking out. Just another one of the services that Ronjo provides for their customers. Ronjo.com, a great shopping experience. But wait! If you use the coupon code iTricks at checkout, you receive a 20% discount. Boom! Only at Ronjo.com. As we mentioned at the top of the podcast, David Blaine added to his resume as a supermensch when he met a disabled teen fan for a few hours and even exchanged phone numbers with the youngster to text him whenever he wanted. Now, Andy, you have a unique angle on this story, right?
No.
Oh, stop it. You told me you did. That's why I put it on the sheet.
Oh, yeah. Well, not so much a unique angle. You know, I recently found out that I live very close to this guy. I think his name's Tim, not David Blaine.
Yes.
So I live about 10 minutes away from him. So, Tim, if you're around and want to talk magic, just give me a shout.
There we go. Hopefully we can get this into the hands of Tim so we can know that, hey, by the way, Andy Gladwin's down the street, and you can probably, he'll let you read Tyler Wilson's book before it comes out.
Just tell him, why bother with David Blaine when Andy Gladwin is down the street? I'm sure he would love to get in contact after that.
You know, we had two stories this week that were kind of the same thing. Siegfried and Roy, I guess, are going to be in London, and they're going to meet a disabled fan. And David Blaine has really been almost, you know, he doesn't really get enough credit for kind of stuff like this. I know after his Target stunt, he went on a full, like, two-month tour of hospitals just showing kids card tricks. And this is something that, you know, it's kind of a above and beyond. You know, meeting a kid is one thing. Giving him your personal phone number to text messages, I mean, it's something different, right, Todd?
Yeah. It's personal, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, when you touch somebody's life like that, it doesn't matter who you are, even if you wasn't David Blaine, it is just, it's amazing.
Now, do you think that this kind of thinking is part of the reason why he's so big, like that any performer, no matter at what level they are, should kind of think about what they can do to give back on some level, because ultimately the karma kind of comes back to you, even if it's not, you know, it's a mystical way. Like the person that you helped could help you out with a business contact down the road.
Right. I don't personally think it's a entertainment thing. I think it's a people thing.
Yeah.
I think we all should be that gracious and nice to people. I think we should all try to help when we can, as long as it's within our means. And you know, even though my job is to joke and your job is to, you know, do magic and Andy's job and all this, and we do this stuff, even if we didn't, I still think it would be important for us to touch people's lives in a meaningful way daily.
All right. And Andy, are you virulently against this or do you agree?
I wasn't listening. I was just practicing some slides. But yes, I agree. No, seriously, I do. It's a great thing that David and these other people in responsible situations can do. So it's great of them. So thanks, guys.
Good to see. Yeah. Good to see. All right. Well, you know, we're kind of at the end here. We are done with this episode of the Magic Week in Review, but I want to thank first the newcomer to the podcast, Todd Diamond. Of course, that is magicfromthegrave.com to get his newest DVD featuring an exclusive interview with the amazing Jonathan. But thank you for taking the time out to do the podcast, Todd.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me on, and I love what you guys do anyways, so I would have been listening even if it wasn't me on it.
Awesome, so, awesome. Always good to hear. And of course, the wry, sardonic wit of Andy Gladwin is always welcome. Thank you for coming on, Andy.
Thank you. Next time, make sure you get me on before Tyler Wilson. I need to get 3-2 to Tyler.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll tell you what, if we're gonna go with this two-man format from here on out, then I'll have to have you on again before I have Tyler on, so you could be even. You could add up the two halves to a whole and equal his total, right?
That just means he's still beating me if you're considering this one and a half time.
Okay.
So Todd, thanks for turning up. Really, you helped my score.
No problem.
With Tyler.
Of course, all of Andy's. All of Andy's material is at andygladwin.co.uk. And you have a mailing list, right, Andy?
Yes, I do. Just join up in the members area. You get some free downloads of some tricks of mine from the 1990s. So they're probably rubbish, but, you know, download them, and then you get on my mailing list as well.
Yeah, so see for yourself. And, of course, you'll be among the first to know about all the new products, including the very, very secret ones that we couldn't talk about. And, of course, you still do the clog, right?
Yeah, I just posted to the clog today, actually, and I'm going to post again tomorrow. So it's starting to get busy again.
Excellent. And that is andygladwin.co.uk/blog?
Correct. You have a good memory.
Ah, I try. I try very, very hard.
Or you're a stalker. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know, one of the two. All right. Well, of course, if you guys would like to get in touch with the podcast, it is show@itricks.com, or you can leave a comment on the Magic Week in Review post on itricks.com. Of course, you can always follow me on Twitter if you're on it at Justin R. Young. But until next week, for the Magic Week in Review on itricks.com, I'm Justin Robert Young.
itricks.com.